Oh, that's good singing indeed. You all joined in so well, and that's a great old song. That should warm the cockles of our hearts as we anticipate entering into Canaan's land. It's good to see everybody present this morning. Appreciate so much the visitors. We have several. And I want you to stay, if you would, a little while after service, get better acquainted. Among the visitors are the Kilpatricks from Akron, and daughter Kay, and grandchildren. And that I didn't get that. Yes. And the lady that's with them, and we're glad to have them. And others have come to be in the service. We're just so appreciative of your presence this morning. I had a wonderful meeting in Akron, Barberton last week. We closed out Friday night with the house completely full. And we saw one soul baptized into Christ, and we rejoiced in that. And of course, that announcement's in the bulletin. It's good to be back home and be with you here this morning. I'm talking to you for just a few minutes on stewardship. You know, Jesus had a great deal to say about this. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 8, our Lord stated that the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward. In other words, here's the word steward in the parable of the vineyard. In Luke 16 and verse 2, Jesus said, give an account of thy stewardship. In Luke 12 and verse 42, the question is asked, who is that faithful and wise steward? Then Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And Peter stated in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, that we're to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A little boy, I think, hit the nail on the head when he said that stewardship means that life is like a great ship loaded with rich cargo to be delivered to many places. God, he said, is the owner of the ship and its cargo, but I am the captain. And I think that depicts stewardship as set forth in the Bible. The Christian view is that all that is above us and all that is around us and all that's beneath us belong to God Almighty. And he gave it to us to care for it. We own nothing. Someone said the only thing that we own actually is man between man, what we bought from man. But when we look at it in our relationship to God, the Bible teaches that God owns everything. There's a statement back in the Old Testament. In fact, there's more than one. But in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. And the same thing is taught in Psalms 24, verse 1. And we read in Psalms 50, verse 10, that all the beasts of the forest are mine, and the cattle up on a thousand hills. In Haggai 2 and verse 8, the silver and gold are mine. And so, brethren, I want you to listen to me. We own nothing. We only use it for God Almighty. We are stewards. The word steward means a caretaker. Vine says, primarily denoted the manager of a household or state. It's one who cares for the possessions of another. Metaphorically, he said, it is used in the wider sense of a steward in general, of preachers of the gospel and teachers of the word. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 states that we're the stewards of the mysteries of God. A preacher has in his trust the gospel, and he's to see that it's preached totally and completely, declaring the whole counsel of God. That same thing applies to a teacher. In Titus 1 and verse 7, a bishop is to be blameless as the steward of God. A bishop has the care of the church. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 4, If a man does know how to take care of his own house, or rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And so he's a caretaker, a steward in the family of God. And then in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, all believers, generally speaking, are stewards of God, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, friend, the Christian view is that we are to take care of all the things that God has given unto us. We're to be faithful in those things. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required of a steward. Now listen to the verse. It's required of a steward that he be faithful. So we're to be faithful in the trust that's ours. Here we are in the world. The world is ours. Here's the church that we're to care for. Here's the gospel that we're to defend and contend for. And here's the possessions that we have. Yea, even our own bodies and our spirit. All of these things belong to God. And that room leaves no room for arrogance or pride on our part, as though that this is what we have. I want to tell you, friend, it behooves each and every one of us. Listen to me. It behooves each and every one of us as children of God to recognize that we are just here temporarily to use what God has provided in this world. As Job says, we brought nothing into this world. Naked I came into this world, and naked he's going to leave it, but he said, blessed be the name of God. And Paul teaches the same principle as he writes to Timothy. One man said, H.W. Ellis, in his book, Christian Stewardship and Church Finance, the steward must administer or put to use that which he has in trust. The steward must put to use the whole of that which he has in trust. Now look at it. He must put to use that which he has. He must put to use the whole of that which he has. Then he says the steward must put to use the whole of that which he has in trust according to the will of the owner. So here he put in use the whole according to the will of the owner. And finally said, the steward must put to use the whole of that which he has in trust in such a way as to bring the owner the greatest returns possible. Well, now let's apply that to the Christian life. We're to put in use that which God has given us. We're to put in use the whole of what God has given us. We're to put in use the whole of what God has given us, friends, according to his will, to bring the greatest returns unto him. And someone said that if we were faithful in our stewardship, we would see a revolution of our lives, our giving, and our entire work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's so. What we need as members of the church, as Christians, is faithful stewardship. That gets down to where we live. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. In everyday life, it's to be faithful stewards, our caretakers, in the kingdom of God Almighty. There are four kinds of stewards that the Bible talks about. And you and I are one of them. And I want you to listen to me for just a little while. There, first of all, is the steward who does little with much. He does little with much. Jesus speaks of three kinds of rich men, or three rich men, in the Gospels. In Luke, the 12th chapter, here is the rich farmer. Now, these rich men do little with much. There's a rich farmer in Luke, the 12th chapter. And if you read that story, this man used 11 times, I counted, if I counted them right, personal pronouns, I and my. What am I going to do with my crop? I know, he says, what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. Tear down these barns. I'll build bigger barns. Then I'll take it easy. God said, thou fool, tonight is thy soul required of thee. Then who shall these things be? He forgot that he was a caretaker for God. He left God out of the picture. He was a successful farmer, but the Lord says he's a fool. Now, what did he do with what he had? He failed to use his goods. He didn't use what he had. So he did little with much. Then in the 16th chapter of Luke, the rich man and Lazarus, we call him sometimes Dives, and Lazarus. This man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That word sumptuously means that he lived expensively. Now his chariot would be deluxe. It would be the 6,000 STE. It would be the town car, if you please, of that time. It would be the Cadillac Fleetwood. Everything that he had. He didn't deny himself anything. But here was hungry Lazarus, who had eaten the crumbs off of his table. But he wasn't aware, conscious of Lazarus. At least he didn't pay any attention to Lazarus. He was only interested in himself. And here was a man who misused his goods. In the 19th chapter is the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus, wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord said, keep the commandments. He said, all these I've kept since my youth up. He says, what lack I yet? And the Lord said, sell what you have and give it to the poor. Mark 10:22 says that he went away in great sorrow. Here was his idol that stood between him and entrance into the kingdom of God, and this man abused his good. Now look what we have in these rich men, brethren. They had much, but they did little with what they had. One didn't use it at all. The other misused his goods, and the ruler abused his. There are others in the Bible that come to my mind. Here's the prodigal son. In Luke 15, who took his inheritance and went and squandered it in a foreign country. And then here's Mark in the 13th chapter of Acts, who went with Paul on his first missionary journey and returned whole, came back. And here's Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, who hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now you look at the opportunities that these men had for good, and they squandered it. Now, how often do we misuse or abuse or don't use our powers? I've seen members of the church in years gone by serve as leaders in civic and fraternal orders and clubs. And they were very devoted to it. And I'm not opposed to one being a member of an honorable civic club. In fact, I think we can meet people and we can do some things in the community. And it might be advantageous to win some to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's my point I want to make. Brethren, we'll spend hours and time to those human organizations and they won't do a thing at all. They won't turn their hand for the church of our Lord. Back several years ago, there was a brother who was a member of the JCs. They had some kind of a drive. I forget exactly what it was for, but this brother rode a bicycle from one southern town to several miles. It wasn't a short distance. It was a long ways. It was going to take him 2 days or better. And he rode it on Saturday and Sunday. And when he got back, I asked him, I said, I want to ask you something. I said, where did you worship on Sunday? And he got perturbed. He got angry that I raised that question. He didn't go anywhere. He was riding his bicycle toward this northern city. I'm not going to tell you where it was, but you wouldn't know him if I told you. But the thing is, he was riding his bicycle for JC's. Well, why couldn't he ride his bicycle on Saturday? Why couldn't he go to worship on Sunday? Yet he could devote his time to those things, but how much time did he give to the church of the living God? That's what I'm talking about, friends, that we do little with much. This man had a lot of ability that he could have used in the kingdom of God. Then again, I see some women who are real workers in social clubs, but they do little in the church. And then you think of the Christians, ladies and gentlemen, who live above their means, then excuse themselves from faithful giving to Christ because they say, well, we're so in debt, we just don't have anything to give. Well, they shouldn't have gotten that much in debt to start with. Now, I know sometimes we can't help getting in debt due to circumstances beyond our control. But many of us want to keep up with the others, and we go and buy a house, and we buy a car, and we buy new furniture, and we get all of that. And then we don't have anything to use for the spiritual enhancement of the souls of men and women or to building up the kingdom of God. We say, well, I don't have the money. Why don't we have it? Because we spend it on the things of this world. What am I talking about? I'm talking about stewardship that God has given unto us to use to the utmost of our ability, as opportunities present themselves, to the glory and honor of God and the good of mankind. Too many of us do little with the much that we have. But another thing. Here's the steward in the Bible. Going to talk to you about four kinds of steward. Here's the steward in the Bible who does much with little. And the Lord wants us to do what we can, and some of us not able to do much. And I'm thankful to God for people in the church that can do nothing much more than to come. But I want to tell you, brethren, you're not forgotten. And it might not be but a cup of cold water. Some of the greatest saints I've met are people that can't do much in a public way, but they're passing out tracts, or they're talking to their neighbors, they're hospital, and they're giving to the poor and people over. We don't ever notice it. But they're people who are doing the much with the little. In Acts, the 3rd chapter, in verse 6, Peter said to this lame man, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but I give you such as I have." And that's all God requires of us. Brethren, we might not have a keen intellect, or we might not be brilliant, or abound in talents, but I want to tell you what we can do with what we got. We can be the good and faithful servant or steward of God Almighty. Moses, listen. Moses was a shepherd. At 80 years of age, with only a rod in his hand, delivered more than 2 million people from a powerful nation. You look at the little things in the Bible. Shamgar had an ox goad, someone said. Rahab had a string. Gideon had a trumpet. David had a sling. Samson had a jawbone. Moses had a rod. Dorcas had a needle. But all were used for God, the little things. And here's the acts of kindness. All of us, brethren, can be kind to one. And some of us are rude in the church, a few in number. I've never learned kindness. We're rude, we're boorish. We're not kind. There's a need for the human milk of kindness. And we need to all learn that. We can say a good word. We can offer encouragement. We can go and extend a hand and say, "I'm sorry." Or we can go see a sick person or a widow or one who's isolated from the community. We can offer these acts of kindness. We can show love and care. We can contribute something. All of these are little things. If it's just a cup of cold water, we can do that, and we need to do that. As a steward of God, we can do much with the little things that we have. Now, the third steward, and that is the one who does little with little. And here was the one talent man in Matthew, the 25th chapter, who was given the talent, went out and buried it in the ground. He hid it. But he should have done more with that. He didn't have much in contrast to the others, but he should have done more with it. And I want to tell you Jesus' attitude toward it. In chapter 25, verse 26, Jesus' attitude is, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." In Luke 16 and verse 10, our Lord taught that he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. But he that's unjust in little will be unjust in much. Someone says, "Oh, if I could just have something big to do, preacher." I want to tell you, friend, if you won't handle the little, you won't handle the big. You know people that are chosen in the Bible to be leaders are those people who were faithful in the small things. If we are trustworthy, if we're reliable, if we're faithful in the things that are secondary, if we can't be in the limelight, I want to tell you, if we're chosen for the bigger things, the more responsible jobs, we can be faithful in those too. But if we're irresponsible in these minor things, as we look at it, we'll also be irresponsible and unfaithful in the larger. Now, we got some seemingly that don't want to serve unless they can be out in the front. If I can't be an elder, I'm not going to serve in the church. If I can't be the teacher, or if I can't be the preacher, I'm not going to do anything. And it shouldn't be that way. We all are members of the body of Christ, and everybody has his function. I want to tell you, friend, that little finger there is very small, but it's a valuable tool to me. Maybe more so in some ways than this one over here is. Somebody says, "Why is that?" "Because I love to play the violin. That little finger serves a purpose. I like to try to play the piano. You take care, take off one of those and see how it affects you. Indeed it does. Every small part of the body is important. And that's what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Brethren, there's nobody in the church that's not needed. You are needed. All of us are needed in the body of Christ. And each one has his place or his position. There's a statement in the Ephesian letter in this connection that many times we overlook. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, and this is a conjunction with these gifts, he says, but on every one of us is given grace. And I want you to stop. I want to stop right there and say that I don't care what our function is, it's by the grace of God. In Ephesians 3 and verse 8, the apostle says, unto me and less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Preaching, Paul says, is a grace. If you're a teacher, it's a grace. If you're a member of the church and a benevolent person are teaching somebody, it's a grace of God. I don't care what it is. And he says, but in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now here were evangelists and apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, and all of them were given to these men according to their ability, the measure of the gift of Christ. And it was a grace. We have a responsibility and obligation in the church in little small things. That's really the grace of God, and we should use it to the utmost of our ability. Someone says, well, I intend to do better in the future. You heard this? I just can't do now much now. Things are so out of control, or I'm so confined or due to the situation, and I just can't do anything now. And so we always put it off down there to the future. We say, when we finish school, when I get another job, or when I get a little ahead, or I get settled, or I raise my family. You know, it reminds me of the two boys that were, we talk about what we would do when if we had different circumstances, different situation. If I had my family raised, or if I had a good job, if I had a good position, or if I was settled, all that. It reminds me of the two boys that were walking along, and one looked over at the other and he says, say, he said, if you had $1 million, would you give me half of it? And he immediately said, why, surely I would. You know, it's easy to give something away that you don't have. And he said, well, if you had 1,000 hogs, would you give me half of them? Oh, yes, I'd give you half of it. He said, if you had 2 hogs, would you give me one of them? He said, what you mean? You know I got 2 hogs. And that's the way it is, friends. It's what we're going to do if we had the situation different. I want to tell you right now, do for the Lord today. Don't wait till you get your education. I've seen people say, well, when I get my degree, then I'm going to be able to settle down. Or when I get this done, accomplished, if I get this job out of the way, then I can serve the Lord. We better serve Him now. That's stewardship. We must do to the utmost of our ability, not little with the little that we have, but a fourth steward, and that's one who does much with much. Now let me reiterate for just a moment. These four stewards, the steward who does little with much. Secondly, the steward who does much with little. Thirdly, the steward who does little with little. And fourthly, the steward who does much with much. Now I see in this steward the Apostle Paul. I want to tell you, Paul's one of my favorite people in the Bible. He had it all together, friend. He knew his goal in life. He knew his purpose. He knew his mission. And we haven't learned ours yet, some of us in the church. We don't know what it is. We get things all out of gear and our propriety is out of proportion or out of order. We don't know what it is. Paul said, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said that he was here to preach. To remain in the flesh is for your good. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, but to remain in the flesh is for your good. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, I'm ready to be spent for you and to be spent. In other words, I'm ready to give all. And we see his sacrifice, brethren, and we say, well, that's Paul. No, that was a Christian who was devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man that made things happen. Here was a man who worked all day with his hands, and yet he had time to preach at night when he was at Ephesus. Paul didn't take their silver and gold. He worked with his hands. And he didn't, I imagine that was from morning till about dark and making tents. And then when he got through, he preached and taught the scriptures. And I want to tell you, we can do the same thing today. I know we may get tired, but I want to tell you something. I get tired. That's not to be redundant. But I get tired of some of my brethren who are always making excuses about being tired. And I know we can get tired, but we're not that tired. Somebody says, "Preacher, you're not me." I know I'm not you. But I've worked at secular work, and I was tired all day long over in Packton, Ohio. And it was a construction work. And I was at the bottom of the totem pole, as far as that goes. We were digging, and we were shoveling, and it was all day long. And we went in, I got up before daylight, and I stayed till late. But I want to tell you right now, when it came to the services, I went. And I'm not bragging, but I want to tell you, I hear brethren use these kind of excuses all time. And yet here's the great apostle who was tired too. And he had a living to make. And we want to put our living in this world and the things of this world and the materialistic matters of this world above our Lord. And the stewardship is, listen, we are stewards of God. And what we have is not our own. I don't care what it is. The suit on your back isn't yours. Except from a man-to-man standpoint, legally speaking. I went down to Penny's and bought mine. And from that standpoint, it's mine. But this belongs to God. It belongs to the Lord. My body isn't mine. And brethren, we haven't learned that. We haven't learned anything yet. It isn't yours. This body isn't mine. It belongs to God. The soul in this body, me, it's not mine. It belongs to God. And 1 Corinthians 6 says, verses 19 and 20, that we need to glorify. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, for they are God's. And some of us are so selfish that we don't have any time for the Lord whatsoever. It's me. I do by whatever I want. Well, that's a wrong attitude. If we can get brethren to the place where all of this is God's and we're caretakers and we're to tend it, and to be faithful in it, in everything, this world in which we live, I don't care what it is, our bodies, our clothes, our cars, whatever, all are blessings of God, and we should pause to thank Him for them every day. We just use them for a while we're here. But let me close out with this morning. And that is that each one's going to have to give an account of his stewardship. Look at here in Matthew 25 and verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. He took an account. The same thing is taught in the parable of the pounds in Luke 19 and verse 15. And here in Matthew 18 and verse 23, the record says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants." In the Romans 14 and verse 12, each one will give an account of himself to God. Now I want you to listen. Every one of us, and that's me, as well as you, every one of us will give an account of his stewardship to God. We're going to give it in the day of judgment. And the counting includes, brethren, the way we use this world. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31, the world is ours. 1 Corinthians 6, which I've already noted, our body and spirit belong unto God. In Ephesians 5, 16, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You know, here's a big factor, and I'll tell you what we've done. I'll tell you what we've done, brethren. There are 160 hours in the week. We take one little measly hour, and it'd be smaller than that in proportion to this circle. One, some of us. And we give that to God, and then everything else is for me. I don't understand that. I've never understood that. By that, I mean, that's the only time I come to work. I'm not talking about the ill. I'm not talking about people who get up and they're not able to drive at night and have no way to come. Their heart is there, but it's beyond their control. I'm not talking about folks who have to work, and yet they serve the Lord, and they love the Lord, and they come and worship Him, and they commune, and they do what God said. I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who have no excuse whatsoever, no reason. And we can only find 1 hour on Sunday morning to come to the house of God, never show up for a gospel meeting, never come back for any other thing. And what do we do with 167? For me. For me. Where is our time? Brethren, we've got to take some time out for the Lord. We have to have maybe 8 hours to sleep. We use about 3 hours a day. Well, that's too much time maybe for a lot of us eating. Might be not enough for others. I don't know. But we're going to say take about 3 hours a day to eat, and then we got to work about 8 hours a day, and then it gets around here. Where's the rest of this pie? You know where it is? TV gets 5 to 6 hours. There's where it is. And then we got the ball games over here. And I'm not opposed to TV within reason or a ball game. I'm not talking about that. We got to have some recreation. But I'm just showing that where it's used up. And yet we try to sandwich in here a little 1 hour for God in church. Now something's wrong. Something stinks in Denmark somewhere. And we need to turn this around. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that we're going to give an account to God for our stewardship, and time's a part of it. The Lord said, what did you do with your time? Why couldn't you come more than once a week? Well, now, Lord, you know how it is. No, I don't know how it is. You see, have you heard this record out? This old boy had his couldn't give too much because he bought a boat to fish in, and his telephone call from heaven. Have you heard that? And you've all the excuses in the world. Well, a lot of us need to stop and just pause for a moment and reflect upon his life. We're about like that old boy who had this telephone call from heaven, are we not? So here's the time in this. Here's our influence. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let our light so shine that men will see our good works and be constrained to glorify the God in heaven. And then we get down to the money. And when we look at their money, friend, God owns it all. It isn't yours or mine. It's large. And I'll tell you something else. Some churches need to start taking some look at their money too, all over this country, as to what we can do for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we doing all we can as the stewards of God? And while I'm talking about stewardship, I get a little perturbed at brethren sometimes in the church, in the congregation, and they'll have a few thousand dollars in this, and they start squabbling and fussing over that few thousand dollars, and you can't put it out here and draw a minimal interest from it that in the past hasn't been able to keep up with inflation. And so they say, you can't do that. That's unscriptural. It's all right to keep it over here, thousands and thousands of dollars, as long as you don't draw interest. But if you put it out here in the interest, you see, that's wrong. They don't mind to keep it as long as you don't draw interest. That doesn't bother their conscience. But if you put it out in the interest, then we got a problem on our hands. Now, we need to look at ourselves, brethren, when it comes to money. Our money and the Lord's money, as we say, yet all of us the Lord's money. Mine in my pocket, in my bank account, and the church's money belongs to the Lord. It's His. We say, well, I'm going to give one-tenth to the Lord. Well, I know what you mean by that. But I want to tell you, friend, the Lord owns 10/10 of all that we have. Are you listening to me this morning? We have got to be stewards when it comes to money and our influence. And the Bible says that all of us live unto the Lord. Romans 14, verses 7 through 9. Colossians 3 and verse 24. And in closing, we need to have a keen awareness that one of these days we'll stand before Jesus Christ and give an account. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. All of us must stand before Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. We stand before the Lord in that great day. Stewards of God, caretakers of that which belongs to Him. And as I look at it myself, as I evaluate my life, am I doing all the care? You know, you can take inventory. I've got to do that with me, with my life. Am I doing what I can as a steward of God? This is what it's all about. This is where we live from day to day. If you're in the audience this morning, not a Christian, as we sing the song of invitation, we want you to come and give God your heart. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He went to Calvary. He went through all of that pain and suffering and humiliation that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Neighbor, look to Calvary. I read an article this past week in the paper, and it was entitled, built on Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians, where he said, the love of Christ constraineth me. That is the love that Christ had for me. Paul said, it impelled me. It constrained me. And if that doesn't move us, friend, then nothing, I don't know what will. the love of Jesus Christ should constrain us or impel us to obey the gospel of the Son of God. If you're subject to heaven's call, will you come and put him on right now and baptism upon your faith and repentance? If you're an early child of God, will you come home and be restored to your first love? I pray that you will, that you step out right now and find your way to the front. Why delay? Why put it off? I'm doing that which you know you must do in order to go to heaven and escape eternal damnation in the devil's hell. Why don't you come this morning while together we stand and while the Lord